Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd. DesignCrowd is a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com. That's DesignCrowd.com/hack to learn more and receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project, or simply enter discount code HACK when posting a project on DesignCrowd. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a marketing strategist, groundbreaking podcaster, and an entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of Internet Business Mastery. If we went way back to 2010, when I was still like doing energy audits on houses and stuff, I spent countless hours driving from house to house and listening and learning to my guest on his show. During those years, I learned a ton about online business from him, and I'm so excited to share him with you today. Moving beyond Internet Business Mastery, he is now a marketing strategist helping doers amplify their message and change the world. Now, let's hack Jason Van Orden. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Braintree. You remember your first dollar you made? Now you want to grow and make your millionth or your billionth. Have you found the right payments partner to grow with you? Braintree lets you accept every way to pay, from PayPal to Apple Pay and everything in between. All it takes is one simple integration. And it doesn't matter what currency your customers use, because Braintree lets you accept over 130 of them. To learn more about how you and your company can grow with Braintree, visit BraintreePayments.com/hack. That's BraintreePayments.com/hack. Check it out now. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest that I've wanted to speak to for many, many years. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey there, John. Glad we're making it happen.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about this. It's going to be good. Let's jump into it, Jason. Jason, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Yeah, one of the things, or you know, I haven't, and this is something I've put a lot of thought into, and I love helping my clients do, is kind of boiling down that essence of what they do best, that, you know, at a level that is, I don't want to use the word superior, but it is, you know, it's above average and actually far above average. And so often I think that's something we take for granted because it's something that comes easily to us. And we have these weird beliefs about things of value must be hard and toil and sweat and blood and tears. But something that I just do naturally all the time and like all facets of my life is I love connecting people with like the exact piece of knowledge or the exact resource that they need to achieve that next step to up their purpose, their fulfillment, their goals in freedom. And, you know, and so that might be like, you know, I'm very naturally curious. And when I meet new people, I love to dig in and find out like, you know, what are their driving forces? What are they striving for right now? And as they share these things with me, like immediately, you know, I've got this database in my brain that's starting to come up and like, you know, doing all the cross-referencing and everything. And I'm like, oh, you got to read this book. Like that's going to show you this so that you know how to do that. And then that's, you know, I think that'll be really beneficial for getting to this goal you just shared with me. Or, oh hey, you know, here's this website or tool. Or so it's, you know, knowledge and resources. And, you know, as you and I were talking before we hit the record button, I've recently extended this to connecting people with people, you know? So I just have this, because of my curiosity and drive for learning, and maybe, I don't know, natural knack of memory. Like, I'm just always storing this stuff in my brain and making these connections for people and then presenting those connections in just the right place and time for them. I want, you know, and I mentioned something important. I think that when we land on that, it is something that shows up in all areas of our lives. And yeah, I know you're a big music fan. I mean, this shows up even like if somebody's sharing with me like their taste in music, I'm immediately going, oh, here's a band you got to check out. Like, I love nothing more than like, here's a song you need to listen to based on, you know, what you've just told me about, I don't know, your musical tastes or you know, your favorite concert or whatever. And then having that person listen to it and go, oh, dude, wow, like my new favorite band. Thank you. So, you know, it's like, and the reason I bring that up is I think when we land on, you know, this one thing that we excel at, that we see it in all facets of our life, not just our business, but maybe in our style of parenting or our hobbies or, you know, recommending music to people. And it's like, we just can't help but do it at all times and all places and all facets of our life.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm wondering though, is this, it almost sounds like a level of like maturity, this idea of like connecting people with the exact resources. I find that especially people when they're trying to start their quote unquote like personal brand or business or whatever, they'll obviously read and consume a lot of resources and then maybe sort of pass those off as their own. You know what I mean? Like it seems like there's this level of maturity you have that you're willing to just like make that connection in your head and be like, no, actually you need to read this book or you need to listen to this person or watch this video because that's what will help you, rather than, no, I'm Jason. I know how to do this now and I'll show you. Does that make sense? Like, is this something you've sort of gone through?
No, that totally makes sense. And actually, this is something that's been on my mind a lot the last year, because I do think that, I mean, in the space that I occupy of online entrepreneurs and, you know, online influencers and helping them grow their business, you know, all these things, like there's a lot of people out there teaching their flavor of, here's how to make it online, here's how to establish a brand, get traffic, blah, 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 and all these things, right? And often it is, yeah, there's plenty of that regurgitation of information, echo chamber, whatever you want to call it. And there's also, you know, people who have real legitimate success. And so then they turn around and go, hey, here's what I did, you can do it too. And the truth is, like, often, especially, you know, a couple years in, you often don't know actually all the facets of what led to your success. And then there's the problem of a sexy marketing message is, here's the one thing that made all the difference for me. And now you can, like, if you do this one thing, it's going to work for you too. And so, you know, we get these shiny messages of like, oh, if I just do this one thing like that person did, like they're saying, then it's all... But it just doesn't work that way. It's, you know, we're all different in our goals, our values, our circumstances, our strengths, our timing. If nothing else, our timing is different, right? And so I mean, I've been doing this a very, very long time, teaching entrepreneurs, being an entrepreneur, specifically online. And so one thing that I try very hard to do now is try to be a little more nuanced in the connections I make, you know, whether that's in a course or especially in one reason I'm loving one-on-one work right now is it allows me to be more nuanced and go, look, I know like you're enamored with Facebook Live right now because everyone's talking about it, but have you considered this? Or, hey, let's really tap into your vision, your values, your strengths, you know, all these things. And maybe something, you know, it's this thing over here for your platform. Have you considered that? Or, you know, the combination might not be what, you know, and so I think I'm speaking to what you were saying there, John, but there are nuances to this, and it's very easy to be taken by the sexy success stories and marketing messages as opposed to like really tapping into what will work best for you and your goals and your circumstances and your vision. And I really love helping people do that, because when you do that, you'll stay, you know, you're going to maximize your motivation, your results, your outcomes. And, you know, that's ultimately in the long term, what's going to lead you to your flavor of success and contribution to the world.
So at the beginning, you said your one thing is you've had this like ability to boil down the essence of yourself and others, but then connecting people with the exact resources and now further extending that to connecting them with other people who can further them. So every sort of like blog post now, every expert, Jason, talks about the 80-20 rule in business, right? Mm. So do the 20%, get 80% of the results, do what you're good at, and delegate the rest. Jason, can you tell me something in your business that you are absolutely not good at?
Yeah. So this is, okay, so I wouldn't say I'm absolutely not good at, but okay, so here's an aha moment that I had. And there's a few pieces I want to put out there, and then I'm going to tie it all together and answer your question, John. But, you know, so I've been podcasting for 11 years. So this speaking thing, getting on the mic, you know, extemporaneously answering questions or talking about bullet points, and I've really developed that. And I would consider myself a decent content creator and maybe even excellent content creator and teacher. And I love doing that. But the moment it comes to creating a piece of content for the purpose of selling. So the obvious, you know, examples would be like writing an email that, you know, is part of a launch or a promotional series, coming up with a script for a video sales letter or writing the copy for a sales page. There's this level of stress and anxiety that start welling up. And I don't know, you know, I've done a lot of thinking of the different reasons why that might be. An aha moment that I had somewhere along the way was, I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Sally Hogshead, who wrote a book called Fascinate, I believe, right? Or, you know, and or How the World Sees You is another one of her books. Anyway, she's done a lot of studying about, you know, how can we tap into that thing that, you know, is uniquely us in the way that we influence the world around us, basically. And if, you know, if I got nothing else out of her work, then the fact that, oh, we all influence differently. So some people know how to show up in a room and be super charismatic. And, you know, we've all seen that person and, you know, boom, that's something that they do really well. Or, you know, some people have like a mystique about them and are kind of mysterious. And, you know, we all think of celebrities that are that way. And that's kind of a bit of what fascinates us about them. And when I took her assessment, it was a lot more about the long play, about trust and authority and not having that magic turn of phrase that in 5 minutes flat is going to get somebody to buy from me. And when I gave myself permission not to do that in my copy, in my content, in the way I sell, first of all, it was a lot less anxiety and that I actually started working a lot better. Now, there are still times as a marketer where I need good copy. And so this is a place that I've just learned to like, okay, I'm going to bring somebody else in. And not that I don't still stay true to my values and my voice. Ultimately, it's my message going out there, but like have somebody punch up the messaging maybe in the moment that it matters most. And it is time to get the purchase, you know, because I do know that it impact. I ultimately need to get people to buy. So that's one area that I've had all this deliberation and back and forth and stress and anxiety. And oh, I should be, I had this for a long time. I should be good at this. Like, and it's not something that comes naturally to me, and that's okay.
So that is something you sort of didn't admit to yourself sort of early enough. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I kept trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Like I went through a phase of like, well, I need to learn how to be an awesome copywriter, an awesome salesman in print and stuff. And then realizing it's like, nah, you know what? First of all, there's a lot of ways to influence and get people to take action. And I don't have to use that particular voice to make that happen. And also it's like, well, if there are times where I need to go a little more in that direction, there's nothing wrong with like getting an outside, like hiring somebody who is good at that, that can still stay true to my voice, but that can help me like, you know, hey, from a copywriting perspective, from a perspective of human psychology and how you actually get people to take action, here are a few things you could do with your copy to punch it up and make it more, get the outcome that you're going for more easily.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally, totally. No, it does. And it's probably something that lots of us struggle with, but you're right. I think we think that we need to be good. Like as an entrepreneur, I need to be able to write persuasive copy. I need to be able to make people buy. It's like, well, not necessarily. You need to be in charge of the idea and make sure that it follows your vision, but you don't necessarily have to write it per se.
And, you know, and I think it's so easy for us to ignore, I mean, if you want to call it intuition, your voice, you know, who you are, the essence of your, I mean, voice is such a, it's a bit of a nebulous concept, but like, I mean, going back to music or, anything artistic, like what is their voice as a, and I'm not talking about their physical voice that they sing with, but it's like, it's everything, like, you know, the message behind what you're saying, as well as just like the way that you bring that message to the world. And we can, through a lot of shoulds, because we're comparing ourselves to others or we're giving into those shiny marketing messages, we can really trample down our voice. And I think in the end, we're really doing ourselves a disservice, as well as the people that we'd potentially help most in the world. And so learning to discover and honor and leverage your natural way of influencing, your voice, the way that you project that voice and amplify it into the world, is so critical. And, you know, whether you want to be a personal brand and an influencer, or even as just an entrepreneur who's trying to A, make money, and B, make an impact in the world. So, and maybe, I don't know, maybe that goes back to your point about maturity, that with time, maybe we learn more, A, we learn more about ourselves, and B, we learn to maybe stay truer to that, to what we learn about ourselves.
Yeah, very well said. Okay, we're going to move on to projects. So projects is a loose term, but I mean, you obviously are part of a huge project called Internet Business Mastery for 11 years. That's how I know you. I used to listen to that podcast so many years ago. For years, I listened to it. But I would like to know now, so whether it's a project within Business Mastery, Internet Business Mastery, or whether it's something different. But I would like to know sort of the process, Jason, because I mean, as a connector of people, even, I know that probably a lot of ideas come to you walking in the shower as an entrepreneur, but then also I'm sure come through your inbox and come through other people, ideas of projects and things that you could work on and create. So I would love to know your process, whether it's an internal sort of gut process or a written process you have, but what is it that you go through right now to decide when a new project is worth your time, energy, and resources?
Well, there's a few different litmus tests that I use. And one of them goes back to your question about what's the one thing that you do really well. And so, you know, I pass it through that and like, hey, does this allow me to do that thing effectively? That's one litmus test. Another litmus test is I try to always be clear about, you know, in any given business or pursuit, who is the audience that I'm trying to serve, and, you know, having a very clear idea of who that is, and then like passing it through, like, hey, is this project or idea opportunity going to allow me to do that? I always ask the question of opportunity cost, because saying yes always comes at a cost of all the things then that you have to say no to. And so, you know, getting better at weighing and you know what, here's another, when it comes to opportunity cost, so obviously weighing the time and resources and money that might take up and take from other things, but then also the opportunity just to, what am I trying to say? Okay, so we talk so much, I think, as entrepreneurs about vision, have a clear, compelling vision. And if your vision for the future is strong enough, then that'll get you through whatever it gets in your way, whatever challenges, whatever unexpected, whatever trials, tribulations, et cetera. And there's some truth to that, but you know what? There's actually a lot of interesting science out there about what motivates us as human beings. And, you know, when we leave ourselves to you know, potentially, you know, our defense, what am I trying to, there's a word I'm looking for, but leave ourselves open to, or vulnerable. That's what I'm like, vulnerable to, you know, getting derailed. You know, success takes consistent action and, you know, the fuel and motivation to show up on a daily basis and go to bat and do hard things when those things present themselves. And sometimes the future vision is enough to go, well, I want that badly enough that I am going to do the hard thing and keep going. But here's the truth of the matter, John, is like, and again, science, there's especially in like a fitness science. I mean, that's something we can all relate to, wanting to be healthier. And how often do our intentions of exercising or eating more healthy get derailed? And there are studies that show, it's like, look, if all of your goals and outcomes that you want are all future based, hey, I want to lose X number of pounds in the future. I want to be able to lift X amount in the future. I want to be able, and you completely ignore like the needs and motivations of right now, that you do leave yourselves far more vulnerable. And they've studied people who consistently exercise have those immediate payoffs built into the way they go about losing that weight. Does it feel like a treat and a payoff? And maybe that might be as simple as like, hey, the way it makes you feel, I want more energy. And that's something you can immediately feel the payoff for. So how in the world does that relate to projects and business? Well, I've learned about myself, for instance, that I need to build into my decisions about what I take on, there needs to be, it needs to provide for my curiosity and my need for novelty. I need to be fascinated on a regular basis by new and interesting things or people or concepts. And if I don't allow for that, which is an immediate and present need, and I go after something because, oh, well, that's going to give me more money in the future, or that feels like it's going to in the future get me to, you know, a bigger level of recognition at the expense of what I need to be motivated right now, then that doesn't turn out very well for me. So that's another litmus test. Now, I'm not saying curiosity and novelty is a litmus test for everybody. You got to figure out, maybe for you, it's like, well, I need to have daily interaction with interesting people. I need to work on a team. I'm not that way. I actually love working in isolation and being very focused, doing my own thing. My wife is the exact opposite. She loves to be connected with people on a daily basis. That would be a litmus test for her. So those are some of the factors that I look into when it comes to this or that, you know, and saying yes or no to things.
Does who is the audience? Does that play into sort of the audience that you've participated in the past? Do you only want to do something that you've already sort of built up some sort of equity within that market? Like, I mean, working within the entrepreneurship space or the podcasting space especially, you have a huge amount of equity.
Right.
You could end up on any show you want to because of what you were one of the first, if not the first one out there doing it, right? You taught a lot of us how to do this. So does that play into it? Is that what you mean by who is the audience?
Right. You know, I'm so glad you brought this up because this was a huge shift for me recently. And going back to that novelty and, you know, I mean, we all have, you know, needs for mastery and growth. And I think we can all feel when we start plateauing. And this started happening to me, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, I started noticing. And like you said, like Internet Business Mastery is a podcast. It's a business that I've been doing for 11 years. You know, it's still there. And thankfully, I have systems and teams that help it chug along. But I started noticing a real stagnation for me personally. And when I kind of dug in, at first, I wasn't fully aware and I had to like dig into and figure it out. It's like, you know what? Like, I've been doing this a long time and like the novelty and mastery and growth have kind of gone out of it. And one of the reasons why is for 11 years, I had been very focused on serving a specific audience, which was beginning entrepreneurs who want to go on the internet and launch something. They're just like I was 12, 13 years ago, stuck in a cubicle, and they're just getting started. And so there's all those early questions of mindset and coming out of the employee mindset to an entrepreneur mindset and what's my niche. And you know what? Like after teaching that for 11 years, it just wasn't a challenge for me anymore. Like I knew like the back of my hand, all of the answers and the systems and the frameworks. And I was like, look, I've got 12, 13 years of experience as an entrepreneur, 11 of those years online. And there's like 10% of my knowledge I actually get to share because that's all these beginners are ready to hear. And so I was ready to shift the audience that I was focused on. Now, I didn't want to go like 180 degrees, although, you know, maybe there would be a moment when that would be appropriate. I don't know. For me, it was, okay, let's shift now for my own need of novelty and mastery and growth. And I want to work with people who are probably more my peers now, the people who are farther along, you know, they've got a history of some success, but they're looking to scale their influence, their impact, and even their income. Maybe they're hitting a ceiling and they want somebody with experience to come in and give that outside perspective of like, hey, have you thought about this? Or, hey, your systems might, you know, look like this. Or, hey, you know, okay, you want to launch a program? Well, let's come up with just the right messaging and figure out what your audience wants to buy from you. You know, so some of these questions that require somebody at least has been doing this a couple of years to arrive at. And so that was a shift in audience, at least one or two steps for my own growth and enrichment and excitement. So sometimes it is a shifting of who you are and a shifting or expanding or sidestepping of who you are focused on for the sake of growth and interest.
Yeah. And I think that that's obviously going to come naturally. I mean, 11 years at a game, right? I mean, you're going to need some, especially for somebody who wants to be sort of fascinated and really, really into and like being pushed sort of to learn and grow.
It probably should have happened earlier for me to like expand out. And
well,
I mean, there's something to be said about focus. And I definitely can be somebody who focuses really, really well. But
success also, I mean, can, to a certain degree, it can make us a little complacent because it's good, right? Things are good. It's like, I don't have to push myself sometimes. And
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what, that, you know, sometimes I get asked, like, in the last decade, what are some of the biggest things that you've looked at that you might see as, like, I don't know, failures, missteps, mistakes. I don't know what word you want to use, but I definitely have seen times where I got too complacent, rested on my laurels too much, and stopped innovating, and that cost me.
Right, right. Which does happen. So it's fair enough. It happens to the best of us.
It does.
All right, Jason. Well, this has been an absolute blast, man. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, and it really ties into this idea, but it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. But I mean, I promised myself I wouldn't, like, sort of go off and gush about Internet Business Mastery and the podcast and stuff too much, and I won't. But you've done a lot of stuff compared to, I mean, most people at this point, and it's been good, I'm sure. But this idea of the entrepreneurial gap is that as dreamers and entrepreneurs, we never see ourselves as successful no matter what we accomplish, right? Like, in 1 month when you hit that revenue target, or 6 months when you stand on that stage or release that book, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet we both know, Jason, that right before you hit that, you're going to set bigger, loftier goals into the future, which I agree we need to do. But it's like walking towards the horizon. The further you walk, the further away it always gets. And so we end up living in this gap where it doesn't matter what we accomplish. We just don't see ourselves as that success yet. I would love it, Jason, if you could right now just stop and turn and look behind you. Everything you've accomplished in, it's been almost 15 years in the entrepreneurial game for you. And I'm sure there's been huge highs, big lows that we don't know about, and wins and losses. But tell me how you feel about the whole journey up until today.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great question, and definitely something, like you say, that a lot of entrepreneurs deal with. And I'll tell you, I mean, maybe people have sensed, like, the last year or two has been a real pivot and transitioning point for me, and reevaluating a lot of this stuff that we've talked about, strengths and audience and what's next and curiosity and drive. And I have gone through a bit of a roller coaster at times as I've evaluated, going like, oh man, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And like, why aren't these things farther along? Or, you know, phases of, I mean, I almost made it sound like, oh, I got to this point with Internet Business Mastery. I'm like, oh, what I need right now is a transition or change. And actually there's this real crisis moment where, like, oh my gosh, have I done something wrong? Because I feel like I'm using my strengths with Internet Business Mastery. So why is my drive, like, waning? And like, and it can be really a lot of consternation. But I mean, looking back, there is a lot to be very happy. I mean, come on, like, I, you know, it's, as we record this, it's August, which is the month of my anniversary of giving notice in my job as an entrepreneur. And so now I've had 13 years since I, you know, quit my job cold turkey and went out on my own as an entrepreneur. And like, that's no small, you know, no small thing. And it is really important, even on a daily basis, to even recognize small things. And I know one thing that I've strived to do lately, because again, I fall into this gap very easily, is through my journaling, like, what are three awesome things that happened today, or even this week, or this month, and to look back regularly, whether it's at, you know, and keep track of something that I don't do very well is letting in when people tell me how much what I've done has meant to them or impacted them. It's like very easy for me to go, oh, isn't that nice? And then kind of like move on. And, you know, sometimes we do need to stop and go like, wow, like, look at this. This is somebody's life that something I said had an impact on. And whether you keep a file of those things in your email or in your Evernote that you can go back and refer to, I think it is important to build into your routine reminders of where you have been, what you have done, to kind of keep you from constantly looking at the moving horizon and feeling that, you know, that dissonance and lack and consternation that comes with, oh, I'm not there yet, right? So did I answer the question? I was just kind of like musing about this idea of the gap. But,
that's all you're supposed to do, man. You answered it beautifully.
Awesome.
All right, Jason. Well, we've got to talk about your business and what you're up to in passing, but can we now specifically tell the listener where they can track you down online and where they could sort of follow up with some questions if they need to?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me online at jasonvanorden.com, just my name, personal brand. And as people have, you know, probably kind of picked up hints of, like, you know, I've shifted to, I specifically love working with thought leaders and influencers who are, you know, they want to go bigger with their reach. They want to go bigger with their impact. They want to go bigger with the people that they're able to get their message to. And so I like helping them take that unique genius and package it up into systems and content, and most specifically products, online products that help them scale their income and impact. And there's such a powerful ability to do that online. And honestly, I think the world needs more what I call self-made influencers, because you know what? We got a lot of problems to solve in the world and a lot of human knowledge that is like exponentially expanding every day. And people got to like combine that in interesting ways to solve these problems and elevate people's lives. So I love helping people do that. And that's where you can find me.
Excellent. Excellent. So jasonvanorden.com. Sally Hogshead's book, I believe, is called Fascinate. I'll find links to that as well and put that in the show notes for you. Jason, once again, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad we finally got to have this conversation, and just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure.
Jason, thank you so much for joining me today. That was a lot of fun. I've wanted to have that conversation for a long time, and I'm really glad I got to. And I sometimes, my guess, it's like the first podcast they've ever been on because they're running businesses and such and don't always do shows. But you're a pro, man. 11 years podcasting. Whew, you make my 2 years just look pitiful. But but it was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And I hope you out there listening enjoyed that as much as I did. And I hope you learned as much from Jason and that you'll reach out to him as well. So we've reached a point in the conversation where I need to go back. I need to go back through the conversation and listen to it and see if anything sort of stands out to me. So I went back and I listened. And I went back again and I listened. And then I went back one more time. That last time through the conversation, there was one thing that Jason said that was so very, very, very clear to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I need to build into my decisions about what I take on. It needs to provide for my curiosity and my need for novelty. I need to be fascinated on a regular basis by new and interesting things or people or concepts. And if I don't allow for that, which is an immediate and present need, and I go after something because, oh, well, that's going to give me more money in the future, or that feels like it's going to, in the future, get me to, you know, a bigger level of recognition at the expense of what I need to be motivated right now, then that doesn't turn out very well.
And that's the hack. Jason. This is awesome. I love this. So I've been asked when I've been on other people's shows, like on their podcasts, I've been asked, it caught me off guard the first time because I had never really sat down and thought about it. But I mean, I'm 275 interviews. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of very, very smart entrepreneurs at that point. And the question was, which has been asked many times now, so I've thought about it a lot, is what's the one sort of overarching, like, sort of connection or correlation between all the people that I've interviewed and talked to that have gained some sort of success? And what I've found is a level of confidence, and not necessarily confidence in the typical or usual way you would think about it, but confidence in finding out what works for you and then going after that. And not worrying about how other people do things. So most people would tell you, you need to focus and you need to stay just completely like on track and stick to a project because it's going to take you 3 or 4 or 5 years to stick out. And it could be for money, it could be for fans, it could be for whatever you want. But Jason says, for him, a project needs to feed his curiosity and his like need for novelty. It needs to fascinate him. And if it doesn't, he will just lose interest in that. And to me, it's really interesting because that's typically not what most people would give for advice. And he's not giving it for advice. He's just saying it sort of off the cuff. But I love it because rather than taking other people's advice always, is really just look inside you, feel what's there and how you work and how you think you can push yourself to become the person or the entrepreneur that you want to. And then if it's not the way I do it, or it's not the way Jason does it, who cares? It's the way you do it, and do it confidently. It's what's going to take you to where you want to be. The only way it won't is if you don't totally know where you want to be, which is another whole side issue, perhaps. But, and I mean, I don't mean ultimately, like, where do you want to be? But, like, where do you want to be in 3 months? Where do you want to be in 6 months? You have to know these things. You have to be able to sit down and sort of dream out where you want to go, and then find what's inside of you that will be the most likely to take you there, and confidently believe in that thing and use it to take you to where that is you want to be. Jason, thank you so much. So, attention, music nerds out there. Have you heard about my new website, my new project? I'm really, really digging it. It's cool to be working in music and software at the same time. It's the first time I've ever done it, and I'm kind of combining my two loves, so it's been a lot of fun. Showlist.io. You should check it out. Sign up if you are into like concerts and seeing shows. It's totally free. Just a cool app for discovering new music in whatever city you happen to be in now. So yeah, all you music nerds out there, check out showlist.io. It's, or anyone who's just interested. That's what I'm working on. Launched it, I believe it was 3 weeks ago. So we launched it like mid-August. And yeah, it's going well. We have almost 1,000 users, and things are good. It's fun. It's cool. If you have any questions, even if you're not a music nerd, but you want to check it out, by all means, drop me an email or hit me up on Twitter if you have any questions about it. And I'd be happy to have a conversation. All right, enough about me. You get back to doing whatever it is you're doing. Thank you so much for stopping by. Truly, truly, 100% appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.